Lynn's recently become Rothamsted's spokesperson in the neonicotinoid debate.
The big advantage of neonicotinoids is that you can plant the seed already treated. It means the farmer doesn't have to spray. If you've got to spray, that's very expensive. It's got a high carbon input. You have a risk of drift. You have to wait for the right weather conditions. Whereas if the plant is protected by the chemistry coming up as it grows, you avoid all of those steps.
From the farmer's point of view, it's really useful.
It is very useful.
You'll be familiar with Professor Mentel's work in Germany, where he's shown that neonicotinoids can have an effect on the bee's navigational ability, and that may explain why we've been losing so many bees.
It might explain it, and I'm not in any way questioning his data. I think at certain levels they will have sublethal behavioural effects. Whether the amount that bees pick up by foraging in crops that are treated with neonics are at the same level to give that effect, I don't know, and I don't think that's been shown.
Why have some of them been banned by the EU?
In my view, the lobbying that went along with the fact that neonicotinoids were suspected was so strong that in the end they got banned on a precautionary principle, on a just-in-case principle.
A lot of people are looking for clear and simple answers as to whether neonicotinoids are to blame. But the way that creatures as sensitive as bees interact with their changing environment is a complex one. For instance, in France, neonicotinoids were banned for a decade, and yet the decline continued. Whereas in Australia, the pesticides are still widely used, and the bees remain generally healthy. It just is complex. For me, the most important question here in Britain is about dose and the effects that neonics are having at low levels, the sort of levels you'll find in the countryside.